Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
It's your boy FSP, back up at you and in you again, just like, never mind, I don't even want to start that mess.
Don't do it.
Look, get your depends. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. The old geezer you just heard was one of my co-hosts for the for today's show. It is JT, ATM, I've got trades, and I think I know what I'm doing, Taylor. Hello,
you know. Now, you only can hope to get where I'm at. Let me put it that way. You got 20 more years, 21 and then and change, to get to where I'm at right now. So, if God willing, you will get there, and you'll be feeling in the same way I am. But I'm thankful that I'm here, and let's get this going.
All right. Well, thank God I got a whole nother lifetime to get where you are. That just means you're really old. But I still love you, Jerry. But also on the line, we have the entrepreneur, the young executive in training of this show. He's the bookie monster. Mike Wright. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, people?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the bookie monster's in the building. And when he's in the building, that means he's got some work that needs to be done. We're trying to get him to the is it Margarito and Mayweather or is it Mayweather? Who is Mayweather fighting? I forgot.
Oh, that's Mayweather and Cotto.
Mayweather, yes. We're trying to get him to the Cotto fight. So if you guys know the promoters, if you know the venue, put a good word in for us because we need an on-site reporter or two. I know Jerry has some issues, but we don't have Depends and Walkers for him, so he's going to have to say that's his birthday.
It is what it is, man.
But it's his birthday, and we were trying to do something special for him, but we're going to get it done. But ladies and gentlemen, on today's show of FSP, we will cover, well, I don't think we're going to do round two mock draft.
Sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a good idea not to.
Yes, I don't think we're going to do it. I wanted to do it. I was prepared, but I don't think we're going to do it. But other than that, we're going to talk about who's hot and who's not in the upcoming draft, or who's falling, I should say. Also, NBA playoffs are just around the corner. We're going to get some predictions from the host here, and maybe you, if you want to call in. Now, the biggest MMA fight.
Did you get the number
year,
to call in?
I will.
Okay.
Do I come on the master plan and control? Well, I do come on the master plan and control. Do I come on FSP?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway. Whatever. All right. The biggest MMA fight of the year is coming up later on today. Unlike boxing, they can deliver on a big fight. Bones Jones, or John Jones, is going to face Sugar Rashad Evans this evening, and we're going to talk about that fight. It's going to be, in my opinion, and I hope, UFC or MMA fight of the year, if it goes the distance or even if it doesn't go the distance. I think it's going to be a good fight. We're going to talk about that. Also, Jerry and I are doing another trade. We're doing another trade, and we want to hear from you as to what you feel is right or wrong about the trade. One person in the league definitely fears the deal and believes that it's some BS, and he put on the BS meter, but Jerry had a response for him. We're going to let him talk about that response as well. We have also going on tonight the Capitol Classic in Washington, D.C. And our local and resident bookie man, Mike Wright, is going to be there. But he had an opportunity to talk to several of the participants, Sam Cassell Jr., Damani Dodd, along with a couple other folk. And we're going to let him talk about that as we get this show going on. Is there anything else I'm missing, guys?
Well, this is something I want to say. We spoke to the founder of the McDonald's All-Star and the Capital Classic All-Star game for the high school players, Bob Gagan, on Thursday. I suggest anyone who is going to attend either one of those, especially the Capital Classic, which is today, is listen to the archive show. Bob Gagan is a very fascinating interview, and he has a lot of knowledge and a lot of things to say, and the history of it is very fascinating. I would suggest to anybody who's interested in some history of it to listen to that archive. And also,
yeah.
I think Black has a commercial that
yeah.
I don't know if you're going to run, that you're going to run for.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am. And speaking of that interview you did Thursday, which is on FSP Crew Show every Thursday at 8 p.m., the gentleman spoke about how he studied under Mr. Wooten at DeMatha, and before he went to UCLA and things like that. And he does have a wealth of knowledge of the D.C. area and the talent in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area and things that are available. So what I want to do right now, since we're on this topic, is I want to talk to Black, because Black actually interviewed Sam Cassell Jr. and all these other guys. We're having some difficulties with the sound bites, but I want Black to go in and talk to us about the interview he did with Sam Cassell and the big announcement that's supposed to take place later on today.
Well, as everybody in the area knows, Sam Cassell Jr., I think either a month or two, maybe 3 months ago, everybody had him going to Maryland University. And they were saying that he was committed to Maryland, but his father, Sam Cassell, said that wasn't true. He was not committed to Maryland. So that came out a month ago. And today, at the time of the classic, make sure you're there. We'll be breaking the news on Twitter. Make sure you follow us at FSP Crew Show on Twitter, at Fansports and Power on Twitter. But Sam Cassell Jr. will be breaking the news of where he's going today at the game.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
He will be, it's directly after the game, correct?
Directly after the game.
Sam Cassell Jr. is one of the hot prospects out of high school. He's not in the McDonald's top 100, I believe. Am I right in saying that, Black? He is not.
Yes,
but
you are.
He,
yes, you are.
Okay. But he's actually a good talent. I mean, not every basketball player has a son that can excel at basketball. But I believe Mr. Cassell, his son is a different breed, and he's probably going to be able to excel in college as well as in the pros. So the Capital Classic is being held in Washington, D.C. Well, back when I was there, I know it was at University of Maryland, but where is it going to be today?
It's actually today at T.C. Williams, Alexandria, Virginia.
T.C. Williams, Alexandria, Virginia. Okay. Who else is going to be there, and who else did you talk to from that area?
Oh, from the area, I was trying to get Justin Anderson, but those guys didn't have practice. This was a U.S. national practice, so I wasn't able to get all the local guys. The guys that are not local, but are in the ESPNU top 100 include Andrew White. He'll be going to Kansas. Evan Nolte, he'll be going to Virginia. Montrezl Terrell, he'll be going to Virginia Tech. And Damani Dodd, who will be surprisingly going to the local favorite, Maryland.
All right. He has the opportunity to star there because there isn't that much of a great deal of talent there. So he might be able to take that team and do some good with it.
Surgeon has done a good job this year bringing in recruits. I like the recruiting class coming up this year.
Well, that's the
and
thing.
Another big thing in their favor is Terrell Stoglin opted not to come out.
Correct. He has another year in to better his skills. I mean, honestly, if you look at it, it's a good move on his part because there's so much talent in this year's draft, NBA draft, the entire starting lineup of Kentucky is coming out. Then you got other players. My guy, who I told you is a better player than your boy out of Kentucky, Mr. Robinson, is a better player than, I believe, your guy. Is a local boy from D.C. coming out of Kansas, who actually should be in the top three picks, because I believe Gilchrist and Davis are 1 and 2 or 2 and 1, however you want to look at it. And then you got our guy. So
I'll say your guy.
My guy. I'm telling you, that kid is a beast. He's going to be totally, listen,
he's undersized for his position.
What? Are you kidding me? He's the same size as
He's a six eight power forward.
Dude, he can go to small.
I saw no real three skills from him.
He can go to small. He has the ability to go small because he has ball handling skills. But let's not debate that right now. Let's talk about, if you can recall, since I'm having a problem with these sound bites, what it is that DeMonte Dodd talked to you about, if you can recall.
Oh, if I can recall, you're really putting me on the spot now. I gave you all great interviews, and I'm supposed to remember the interviews as well. I don't want to misquote any guy. I talked to so many guys there. That was the purpose of the soundbite.
All right, well, I got another option here. And I'm going to bring this up. But real quick, as I set it up, I need you to give the people a little history on the Capital Classic, and you know, some of the players that'll be in it this year, and you know, what's the purpose of it? Pretty much, what is the purpose of the Capital Classic?
Is the longest running All-Star game going for high school basketball players. As Jerry pointed out earlier, if you listen to Thursday's show, we ran down all that information with Mr. Bob Gagan. He gave you the history, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, so many great, great players that you only got to see first here at the Capital Classic or at the McDonald's game.
And these players are, as you said, some are in the McDonald's top 100, but not all are. So is this, let's use it in football terms, is this more like a secondary combine, or what is the purpose?
This is a showcase of talent. Great guys from all over the country. You only get to play in two All-Star games. You're not going to the Jordan Brand, and you're not going to the McDonald's. This is another option for you. There's so many All-Star games that have cropped up. That's a good thing for the high schoolers, but you definitely want to be associated with the Capital Classic. Rich, rich history.
Well, let me ask you this, because I had no idea about the All-Star games. Why are the players only allowed to participate in two, as opposed to three
rules.
Or four?
NCAA rules. And if you're playing three or four, your penalty is that you'll lose your freshman year at any college you attend. You
really?
Sit out.
But why is that NCAA rule? I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I have no clue why it is. I guess guys who's going to too many All-Star games, and I guess that's why. Missing too much time from school, so I guess that's why they limited to two now.
Well, I mean, in the summertime, I mean, you have spring break, you have a few other options available, but that's interesting to me because I had no idea.
There's no trying to justify what the NCAA does. It's just, there's no way to explain what they do, the rules commission.
All right, well, right now we're going to bring up that Sam Cassell interview.
I'm here with the outstanding guard, Sam Cassell Jr. Sam, it's been a lot of speculation on where you're going. I know you had recent visits. Everybody wants to know the million-dollar question. Have you made a decision yet on where you plan to go?
I haven't made a decision, but I will tomorrow. I will announce it tomorrow.
Okay, no problem. How's it feel being up here at the Capital Classic with all these great guys? You know, probably about 6 or 7 guys are here from the ESPN Top 100.
Oh, it's good. They make you play every time you step on the court. They make you play. They challenge you to bring out what you got, what you can show.
right, now, you guys been in town for about 2 or 3 days now?
Yeah.
How did you enjoy Sydney so far?
It's good. It's good. It's relaxing. Like, getting to know new people.
All right, a lot of guys from South Florida, Maryland, they've been hitting me up on Twitter actually. So y'all already heard he's gonna make the announcement tomorrow during the game. But if you had a preference of coach to play for, who you probably go with, or you still don't have a decision on that yet?
I don't know yet.
what can they expect from Sam Cassell Jr.? What type of game will you bring when you do make your decision?
It's a score, always high energy, ready to play, and always ready to win.
I appreciate the time, man.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was our crack staff reporter, producer.
I tried to break him.
I was going to say, you rephrased your question pretty good there, guy. That's a pretty good rephrase. That's actually something I would have done, and I've been trained to do that. You did it off the top. You're brilliant, guy. You're brilliant. I wanted to...
But he told me to make sure I find him after the game, so he'll give me the breakdown afterwards.
If he breaks it with you first, make sure that... we lost Jerry, by the way. Make sure that you post it onto FSP Crew, at FSP Crew on Twitter, and tag me in it as well. Okay?
That is a will do.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, Michael Wright is, and I'm using his government name because I really want him to get a huge, huge job in some area, some arena that's outside of what he's doing now, because this guy is truly amazing. You don't know what he means to me and this show and our group. So with that said, we got Jerry back. I wanted to get Jerry's thoughts on Sam Cassell Jr.'s response to Black's questioning.
I lost you guys. That's why I had to call back in. I didn't hear anything. Yes.
Okay. Well, I saw you drop. You got dropped. Well, don't worry about it. He didn't give Black much, but apparently he's going to give Black the first opportunity when he talks about it. But right now, Black also had an opportunity to talk to Evan Nolte. Is it Nolte, correct, Black?
Yeah, Evan Nolte.
All right, so we're going to listen to that interview, and we're going to see what that was about as soon as I get it queued up. All right. I love my – see, I have backup plans for the backup plan, and this is a backup. So work with me, people. Work with me. Let's go here. Evan Nolte. There we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back at the Capitol Classic. I'm here now with Evan Nolte to commit to Clemson. UVA. Oh, UVA, excuse me, commit to UVA. Evan, how does it feel to be playing out in this game?
It feels great. You know, these All-Star games, this is second one, and it's real fun to get together with all these guys and just get together and play.
All right, what type of game can they expect up in Virginia? Because we're playing with another talented guy that's from the area, and Justin Anderson.
Yeah.
I like how that combo is setting up. What type of game can the guys expect from?
Just a versatile guy that comes in and just doesn't just want to earn playing time. Shooting is my strength. So I just do some dirty work, get some rebounds, just work hard.
All right, is there anything in your game that's lagging that you need to work on? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I got to get stronger, faster. That's always something you work on. Then dribbling off the dribble stuff, ball handling, that's the short stuff.
All right, well, we'll definitely look forward to seeing you here tomorrow. Definitely looking forward to seeing you and Jess get out there and do your thing.
Yeah.
For the fans who want to follow you, do you have a Twitter handle that they can follow you?
I do. It's at Evan Nolte.
Okay, appreciate the time. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I would like to say, Black, cut that interview short because I was going to grill him on something else. But I love Black, so Black did his thing. You asked a very good question, Black. And not a lot of players or young athletes will say that they're lacking in a certain area. So what I heard what he said, and he said, yes, there's some things that need to be worked on. What type of vibe did you get when you saw him answer that question? Meaning, some people give you that look like, nah, nothing's wrong with me, but I'll say it, And then some people are really honest, and, you know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I need to fix this, that, and the third. So what
now, he gave me an honest vibe. He knew he had things to work on. And all the players that were there have parts of their game that need to work on to get stronger. You don't come into college as a freshman with a complete game. That's rare. That's rare that you would see that. But, you know, he gave me an honest opinion. He was telling me stuff that he's working on. He's working on off the dribble stuff and a little bit of post-up game. So he was definitely honest. Got a good vibe from him from that.
Now, UVA wasn't that bad this year. So in your opinion, with this kid added to their team, let's say he does get a lot of playing time, how do you see UVA doing?
UVA has the other talented guy that I'll be talking to today, Justin Anderson. The Montrose Christian here in the area. That combo, like I told Evan, I like how that combo is setting up there for UVA. They should have a pretty good team next year.
Now, Jerry, I know you don't follow too much college basketball unless it's women's. Have you heard of these players that Black has interviewed? And if so, what have you heard?
Well, I've heard Sam Cassell Jr., and I probably heard the same thing you guys. He needs the college game and to possibly take it to the next level, which is the pros. Being not in the 100 at McDonald's may be a handicap for him, but if he gets in the right situation with the right coach and that can develop him, he may be able to take it to the next level. Let me put it that way. The other players, no, I haven't.
Okay. Black, do you think because Cassell Jr. is not in the top 100, that's motivation for him to prove these people wrong or prove that he's able to do it? And could it be that he might, you know, make a surprise and say he wants to go to Georgetown?
I don't think that him not being in the ESPNU 100, I don't think that affects him at all. Now, this guy is just a straight baller. He loves the ball. He's a great point guard. He gets everything that he needs to get done. He doesn't
No, he's there. I think he's got a customer right now.
Okay.
With that said, because I know he's busy, let's move on to another person we interview, which is Andrew White. This is Andrew White, interviewed by Michael Wright.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back here, the Capital Classic All-Star. I'm here speaking with the Kansas commit, Andrew White. Andrew, how's the feel going up to Kansas playing for Coach Bill Self?
I think he's a great coach. I like his system, and that's a big reason why I chose the school. So the way that they play fits my strength, and I'm just going to go in there as a freshman, work as hard as I can. He told me there's opportunity to get on the court at the wing spot as a freshman, and I'm just going to do whatever I have to do to contribute to us winning.
All right, you mentioned playing the wing. Are you a 2 or 3? Going to bed, you're going to be shooting a lot of threes, or are you like a slash type of player? But tell the Kansas fans what type of game you bring.
I'm a shooter, jump shooter. That's what I need to go in there and do. You notice there wasn't a whole lot of threes going in the basket in that run to the championship. So I'm a good rebounder, and I'm coming in planning to shoot high percentage, long ball, pull up, you know, keeping the defense honest since they have good bigs and they have good point guard.
All right. How does it feel being chosen to play in the Capital Classic? Like, this is the longest running All-Star game. What type of feeling does that give you?
It's a great feeling, a lot of good players. I like all the guys, a lot of Maryland guys. You just get to see a different brand of basketball being up in this area. It's a big basketball area, so,
yeah.
You know, I'm proud to be in this event and hope it's a good turnout tomorrow night.
All right, for all the fans that want to keep up with you, what's your Twitter handle so the fans can get in contact with you?
My Twitter name is AndrewWhite_34.
All right, appreciate the time, Andrew. Definitely appreciate it.
So this kid is headed up to Kansas, and he's going to replace my guy, Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. What do you see his chances at, Black?
I don't think he's going to replace your guy because your guy is really a big. This is a true wing player here coming up, very outstanding shooter. I see him fitting in wonderful, especially with Coach Bill Self. That's going to be a good fit for this guy. They definitely would like a perimeter shooter.
That's true, because that pretty much hurt them when they played against Kentucky. Because it was evident they're good down low, but their outside shooters were kind of soft, in my opinion. But my question then becomes, since Self doesn't really like to play freshmen, because Robson didn't even play that much. He was like the sixth or seventh man his freshman year. Then he stepped in and took over. Do you see this guy actually getting on the court and being a viable contributor for Kansas?
Yeah, I see him getting on the court. I see a hard time for Bill Self keeping this guy out his whole freshman year.
Okay. Well, I think, because Kansas, like I said this on when I did the master plan for Jerry, there are several schools in the United States that you can always guarantee will have rebounders, and if you can rebound the ball on the defensive side and the offensive side, you have a better chance of winning a game. Michigan State, Kansas, and there was another team. I think it was Carolina that I mentioned. But I know Michigan State and Kansas are notorious for finding bigs to rebound the ball. And if this guy isn't a big, he's a wing guy, that's fine. But that gives Kansas that much more of an advantage. Because if they're crashing the boards, offensive and defense, and they can kick it out to a three-point shooter or a perimeter shooter, that's stepping up big time, in my opinion, especially playing in the Big 12. So, you know, I think that's a good idea. Now, we're going to our last interview that Michael did concerns an individual from the University of, well, a committee to the University of Maryland, Damonte Dodd. Let's listen to that interview real quick.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Michael right here again. I'm at the Capital Classic, the U.S. team practice. And currently right now with me, I have Damonte Dodd, the commit of the University of Maryland. Damonte, what type of game could the Maryland fans expect you to bring up there?
I'm going to bring hard. I'm going to have to work out there. That's the main thing. I'm going to come hard and do it, fit in wherever I can fit in. You know, I really don't know what my role is going to be at Maryland, but whatever it is, I'm just going to come out there and work hard and produce. Push the guys that practice, you know, just got to do this.
Are you excited to play with Terrell Stoglin, though?
Oh, yeah. He's a great player. I always like watching him. It's going to be fun playing with him.
All right. Coach Turgeon, he's brought in a couple of you guys here at this game. You guys all got acquainted yet, or
yeah.
How's that process going? Everybody blending the matchup?
Yeah, all the guys is cool. You know, we seem to like each other all a lot. It's just a matter of getting on the floor and getting that team chemistry.
All right, well, we definitely will see you tomorrow night doing your thing for any of the fans of yours. Do you have a Twitter, anything they can follow you at?
Yeah, Twitter name is capital UMD, all cap, 35, faded.
All right, appreciate the time, Damonte.
All right.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, capital UMD, 35, faded. Now, that kid has a Twitter name. He's going to be committed to the University of Maryland forever unless he changes his Twitter name. That's fine. One thing I wanted to say, Mike, was that all these players, and I do not want to sound racist, even though I'm black. A lot of people might say you're reverse racist. But all these players don't sound like your typical basketball player. Now, what I mean by that is when they responded to your questions, you didn't hear a lot of ums and yeah, and you didn't hear a lot of broken English. So are these guys polished ball players, or are they just like naturally young men that just, I guess, been prepped for interviews?
I guess they're prepped for interviews. They're all very outstanding. Very outstanding with me. I don't think there was one interview yesterday that took place with any of the other media that was there where the guys were going, ah, no. All these guys are well enunciated. And they do their thing, man. Any question you ask them, they take on.
Okay. Mr. Taylor, I know you want to jump on what I just said. Mr. Anti.
I think they're very confident, young black men, and when you have a tendency to be, especially with younger like that, they're anxious to assert themselves.
Correct.
Especially verbally, and they sound very astute about and directed about what they want to say. So you're not going to get a lot of ums and hemming and hawing because these guys know exactly what they want, and I guess they have a base that keeps them in the right direction in order to get to where they want to go.
That's right. I mean, I agree with you 100% on that. I feel as though that a lot of young men nowadays that go into this sport or any sport, they are focused solely on the sport and not the total package of an athlete. Now, you know, in college they call these guys the student athletes and da-da-da-da-da, but let's be honest, not all of them are. A lot of them are just athletes.
That's true.
And, you know, I'm not saying the one-and-done guys are just athletes, but I'm going to call a spade a spade. When I was in college, I mean, in high school,
watch
Victor
it, Willis.
Page, huh?
Watch it, Willis.
Shut up. When I was in high school, Victor Page was in high school with me as well. And I'm going back to that. I attended Dunbar, Paul Lawrence Dunbar in Washington, D.C. I was pre-engineering. Victor attended McKinley Tech, which is a technical high school, and that's what they specialize in, technology. Victor Page was not the most astute student. He was in the special classes. But he had such a talent that he ended up going to Georgetown University. And we interviewed Victor Page 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Well, whatever amount of time it was. So you're telling me that they exploited his talents despite his shortcomings?
Correct.
Okay.
I firmly believe that.
Okay.
I trust me. When I say this, if you want to go back to listen to the FSP Crew show several weeks ago, you'll hear what Victor Page said or didn't say and how he said it. And, Black, I'm not trying to knock your guy, not trying to knock him at all, but when you look at the basketball players of 94, 93 coming up and the guys you interviewed, you can hear the difference in what these kids are like nowadays. And when I heard your interviews, that's the first thing I thought about. Now, you want to beat me up for knocking Victor or no?
No, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna bother you today.
Well, I have to keep it real. I mean, I know what I know, and the proof is in the pudding. We have it on tape and stuff like that. And all I'm saying is colleges right now, and this is not an indictment on Victor Page, but colleges, big-time colleges, will look the other way, a lot of them will, to get a player into their university so they can make millions off of them. And I believe Victor was at Georgetown for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So,
well, I got a question to pose to both of you now.
Okay.
And it has to do we're on the same premise as Victor Page. Now, he went to Georgetown. True, Georgetown is a very good school. Do you think the players that go to college today are held more accountable for their academics? And the university is held more accountable for the student athletes' academics in order for him to play college ball. Anybody?
I'll take it first, and I'll let Black jump in because college is his specialty. But I believe because of all the scrutiny of college sports nowadays,
mm-hmm.
you know, it comes down to, okay, well, look, they're eyeballing us harder than they normally were doing this a couple years ago. So look, and I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying this is real, but Bill Self, that kid Robinson, he's smart, but is he really that smart? Let's say Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, he still speaks to this day as if, you know, he's back on the block. How did he do his coursework at Georgetown? You know, when I look at the players nowadays, and they have to give these dissertations, and they have to speak in front of these large groups of people, they have to be schooled. They have to be taught how to interact with the media, how to interact with others. It's not just, okay, you go take 3 BS classes, get a GPA strong enough for you to, you know, play this upcoming season, and next season you declare for the NBA or you take it seriously. I think that doesn't happen anymore because of the scrutiny that the government as well as the fans and the media has put college sports under. That's just my opinion. I'm going to let Black give his, and I believe we got my cousin on the line, and we're going to see what he has to say about it.
I don't want to delve too much on that. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Okay. Well, let me bring Michael in. Mikal.
Thank you.
What's going on, cuz? Be quiet, Jerry.
It's my third feeling in green. No worries. Having to spend each day in our colors of the weeds.
I'm about to view it.
When I think it could be nicer.
Mike, I'm going to beat you.
Oh, man.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. RG3 might look like Kermit the Frog, but he is not Kermit the Frog. Although he's going to be messing around with the piggies this upcoming year. But
What's up, my man, Mikal? What's up, my man?
Listen, we're talking about, and we kind of got off the subject. Black had did a couple interviews, Sam Cassell Jr., DeMonte Dodd, a couple other folks that are playing in the Capital Classic tonight. And we got on the subject matter of student athletes, are they better prepared to interact with the media and school? Because Jerry's question was, are the universities under more scrutiny and are they under pressure to make sure that these student athletes are more students now than in the
past?
They
don't care, man. They don't care. They don't care.
But are they under pressure? Do you feel as though that the screws are getting tightened because of all the things that have taken place with these one-and-done athletes? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that part?
They're only concerned with the bottom line, the money that's being generated. That's what they care about. Trust and believe. They ain't thinking about that other stuff. They trying to do whatever they can do to, I guess, hide it, sweep it under the rug, or not get caught with it. That's the way I see it. I'm looking at some of these athletes that they putting out, and I'm just like, yo, man, I know they skated him through. I know they skated him through.
Okay.
I mean, so then you made a good point. I mean, I ain't knocking Victor P or whatever, but I'm saying, though, somehow how you get to Georgetown like that? You know what I mean? It's supposed to be, it's supposed to be a well, you know, respected academic community going on up there, but we all know what's going on.
Well, that's what I'm asking, because even Mr. Davis of Kansas, he's very articulate, and I'm not saying that a lot of athletes are not. I want to clear that up. I'm not saying athletes are not articulate. But as a freshman, he comes across as very well-mannered. He has two parents that, I guess, you know, reared him right or whatever, but a lot of these kids don't have that. And I think that the youth of today, the student-athlete of today, is more or better prepared than those of back when I was in high school and you were in high school, 93, 92, things of that nature. So that's just my take on it. I didn't mean to take this conversation down that road, but I thought it was pertinent because you got a lot of young kids coming in and wanting to participate in athletics, but what happens when athletics are no longer part of the equation? What do they do 10 years after their playing career is over? Not all of them can be broadcasters because they don't have the personality or the ability to convey a message. So I thought it was pertinent. But I want to move on. And by the way, Black, again, excellent job on, you know, getting the interviews. And you're going to be with Sam Cassell Jr. later on tonight when he makes his announcement on what college he plans to attend. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of the announcement, because I'm quite sure Sam isn't the only person who's going to talk to Michael, but you can follow both shows at Fansports and Paul, as well as at FSP Crew Show. So Mike is going to be posting that later today after the Capitol Clash.
Yeah, the first game takes place at 6:30. The U.S. Nationals versus the District All-Stars takes place at 8. And then I have the announcement. I'll reveal it on Twitter tonight with Sam Cassell Jr. plans to attend school. So make sure you follow at FSP Crew Show and at Fansports and Paul for that announcement tonight.
That's right.
Good.
And we're getting black to Vegas, I hope, to cover the Mayweather-Cotto fight. So we're working on that. And, again, ladies and gentlemen, we do a lot of things. We've got four outstanding programs. So you tune into a good program. We're going to move on. Since my cousin, Mikhail, decided, and I think that's his new interest thing every time he comes on, he decides to play Kermit Defrog. Jerk. We're going to talk about
my man
the NFL draft very briefly. Not briefly, but we're going to talk about that because I want to get into MMA as well, probably towards the end of the show. But we did our mock draft of the first round last Saturday, and I promise you, after that show, I started seeing a lot of analysts on NFL Network as well as ESPN making some of the same claims that we made when we made our picks. Now, Mr. Irsay's new GM, he, you know, debunked the fact that RG3 is going to go number one, so to speak, and Mr. Irsay himself on Twitter pretty much gave it away when he said, on his latest giveaway, first person or first couple people to do a certain thing, we're going to get a signed autograph football from Andrew Luck, as well as something from the Colts. So even though it's not officially official, I'm telling you, y'all need to follow Jim Irsay. The dude, he's like a regular dude, cursing, and I think he likes weed. He likes marijuana. So I don't know how many people on the team take a piss test.
I wonder if Mr. Irsay enjoyed his holiday yesterday.
Where was that, in D.C.?
No, 420.
Oh, he was where?
I said, I wonder if he enjoyed
Victor
420 yesterday.
Victor don't know what you're talking about. Victor don't know what you're talking about. He don't know what 420 is. He don't.
I sure don't.
He doesn't, see. I told you. I've been telling y'all the boy needs some soul.
Oh, you know what? You know what? Hey, look at here, Slim. Look at here. You ain't revoking my card.
Slim, we don't have to revoke it. You join us not valid. Just by letting you speak.
Whatever. It's my show. I'll say what I want. Anyway, so we know that Andrew Luck is going to be number one. And the very, very strong consensus is that RG3 is number two. Now, just for fun and games, okay, like we did last week, let's say Irsay pulls a fast one and gets RG3. Michael, do you think the Skins try to trade Andrew Luck to the team that won the most, like they did Ricky Williams? And I want to point this out. I was sitting here thinking about this. If we, the Redskins, that is, would have kept Ricky Williams instead of trading with the Saints, our fortunes would have been a great deal different. He would have had all the weed he wanted in D.C., but he would have been good running the ball.
And he would have celebrated 420 each year.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. I don't care.
Hello.
If he celebrated 420. I don't care if he celebrated 420. But he would have been in the Redskins' backfield, and we wouldn't have had so many issues trying to find a running back until we got Clinton Portis, because we would have had Ricky Williams. But anyway, Michael, if Irsay decides
first to pull off, hold up. Look, we never traded with the Saints.
We traded the rights.
Pick.
We traded the rights to the Saints so the Saints could pick them. But we had him lined up. We could have picked him.
Oh, God. All right, well, whatever, man.
Are you saying
whatever.
The Redskins didn't make a blockbuster deal with
Whatever. Ask your question. Say what? Because you're giving me a headache.
Man, you need to look at your history. You need to look at your history, Slim. Talk about me. All right, my question is, if Ursay pulls a fast one and does get RG3, what do you think the Redskins do? Do they draft Luck or do they give away that pick to, let's say, Cleveland, and take all of Cleveland picks, which I believe are 13 picks in this draft? Do you think, what do you think takes
place? Whichever of the two quarterbacks that come here is going to be the better one over time. It doesn't matter. If they pull a move and get RG3 and we wind up with Luck, he's gonna have a hell of a career as a Redskin. And we're not trading that, Slim.
Okay.
The whole idea is for us to get a franchise quarterback. That's the whole purpose. I don't think that they would get into the swapping of the picks and trying to, you know, screw over another team to get more picks. No, that's fantasy land. I don't think so. I mean, because they already made Big Boy over there in Cleveland look bad. They already made him look bad. You know, and homeboy down there in Miami, he ain't too happy neither, because he just lost at every bit of the quarterback sweepstakes that was going on this year everywhere. You know, so no, I don't think that they'll take a swap anymore. Whichever one comes here is going to be the better out of the two.
Okay. Well, Black, since you made the pick of RG3 at number one last week, and I know everyone knows that you're not a Redskin fan, you're a Cowboy fan, but put your analyst hat on. Now, I agree with my cousin Michael about Luck. If he does come in, he will be probably better because it's a better opportunity for him to succeed, even though this year's schedule is a lot harder than Indianapolis's schedule. I wanted to point that out. But put your GM hat on. Let's say Cleveland or Miami comes up to you and says, look, I'm going to give you everything now. We know you gave away next year's first round, the year after that first round, but I'm going to give you all 13, all 10 picks this year and a couple picks next year. Do you pull the trigger?
To move up?
For the Redskins to move out
For the Redskins to move out and pick up all Cleveland picks?
Yes, all 13. Two first-rounders, I think three second-rounders and the rest, no, two second-rounders and like a bunch of thirds and, so on and so forth.
Any other year, I would say yeah, but this year, I can't. You're not going to get some franchise guys, especially Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck, in the draft next year or any draft after that. So I wouldn't do it.
Okay. Jerry, knowing that you've got Brock, the kid out of Arizona State, 6'7", 6'8", cannon of an arm, and mobile, I'm not sold on Tannehill myself. I'm really not. I'm just not sold on him. But you got Tannehill, Whedon, you've got the kid out of Michigan State. You got a couple other nice receivers. I mean, nice quarterbacks. By the way, there's this 6'5", 220-pound Division II quarterback that's moving up rapidly in the draft. The kid's pretty good, by the way. I just wanted to point that out. Do you think? Let's just say, put your GM hat on. Do you agree with Mike and Mike, or do you just have a difference of opinion?
If I'm given all those picks, I got to think long and hard about taking all those picks over one player. I know it's going to be a supposed franchise quarterback, but with all those picks, I'm probably able to pick up somebody. Cleveland has the fourth pick and the 22nd pick, if I'm not mistaken. So One of those picks, I'm able to pick up a quarterback, and probably later in the draft I could pick up another quarterback to possibly cover myself if the first round pick doesn't pan out. But I got all those picks. I can get all those players and improve my team tremendously. I'd have to think long and hard if it's worth getting one of those two quarterbacks versus getting all those picks. You see what happened when Mike Ditka did it. Who benefited the most? The person that had all those picks, not the person that gave him up. So I'm thinking along the same lines of that. I would rather have all those picks versus the one guy that's still...
You're going to have all those picks and a Tavares Jackson at quarterback.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be necessarily be Tavares Jackson.
Young out there, by the way.
Excuse me, I'll be Rex Grossman at quarterback.
Well, let me put it this way: I'll be getting someone else's. In fact, I'll have someone else's whole draft. So I'm getting
plus
someone else's whole, huh?
Plus your own draft.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting my draft. What I have in, and all the picks I have in my draft and whoever I got them from, in addition to someone else's draft. I think I can improve my team with that many players to get a serviceable quarterback. Now, I may not be able to get that quarterback this year, but I'll have somebody that can be a serviceable quarterback with all these picks around them and all the players I still have. Hopefully I'll get someone. If they don't pan out this year, I get them next year or the year after. But I got two drafts in one. I have to think long and hard. Yeah, I would have to think long and hard if one quarterback is worth not getting all those picks. I think a GM, if he was in that position, he would jump. He would jump at the chance to get all those picks versus one potential standout quarterback.
Well, here's what I was going to say.
In my opinion.
Here's what I was going to say. I know Andrew Luck is very cerebral. I understand that. He's a very good thinking quarterback. But his thought process didn't help him much when he played USC. And Barkley outplayed him, clearly outplayed him. And Stanford threw the ball a lot in that game. Stanford won. No, did USC win that game or did Stanford win? I believe
won in overtime.
Yeah, it went to overtime. Thank you very much.
Yes.
But
yes.
Barkley outplayed him.
And it wasn't close. He clearly outplayed him.
And, you know, Barkley's not a bad quarterback. And he's probably going to be the number one pick next year if somebody else doesn't step up and show. So he's a actually good opportunity. And someone brought an issue up to me today. I was talking to an acquaintance of mine. Vince Young is still out there. Now, I'm not saying Vince Young is an answer, but he's better than Rex Grossman. And he's familiar with the bootlegs. He's familiar with all that stuff. So that would be an option for me. I don't have to pay Vince Young a lot of money because his contract's up. He's a free agent. He can say he wants a lot, but I can give him the league minimum for a veteran so he can play again. And I can keep him for a year or two, put some weapons around him, and go after Barkley or whoever next year. Now, again,
Let me state this. The things that are addressed by FSP Crucial, the league moderator, who happens to be a Redskin fan, is of his own. He is talking crazy, silly, and that is his own opinion. We don't want Vince Young. Sorry. We don't want him. He can stay right there, out right where he at. You know what I'm saying? And get his head right. You know what I'm saying? I agree with you. He better than Grossman when he got his head on straight. But other than that, he need to stay where he at, Slim. Sorry, we don't need no more knucklehead. Especially, we don't need no knucklehead coming around this young, talented young brother about to come here now. You know what I'm saying? We don't need that. He can stay where he at.
Mike, I got that. But I'm just playing devil's advocate here. What I'm saying is there are other opportunities available for somebody where he's been in the NFL for a couple of years, he's familiar with the system, and if somebody gives me 13 picks to go with my 6 or 7, that's 20 extra players that I got, that I bring into camp to compete with my veterans and to see who wants to actually be in the NFL. And I don't have to pay them that much.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, and think about it. The Redskins don't have a pick until the third draft, I mean, to the third round. So, you know, it's like all that talent that they're going to miss out on, they need a linebacker. They need several areas, strong safety. And
they need a quarterback.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I'm not saying that they don't need a quarterback. What I'm saying is if, and it's a strong if because I know that Philly was trying to talk to Cleveland to move up, and the Rams were talking to Cleveland to move up. But if Andrew Luck falls just off of, you know, whatever, to the Redskins, and they don't fall in love with him, there's an opportunity there. I'm just saying, there's an opportunity to become a fat cat in a little bit of time. But let's talk about some players that are moving up on the draft board. The kid out of Boise State, the running back. A lot of people, again, before we did this last Saturday, didn't have him in the first round. But a couple analysts, I believe Steve Weish and a few others, have actually pushed him into the first round this past week. Doug Martin, do you think that kid has first-round potential? And if so, to what team might he go to? Let's go with Jerry Black and Mike.
In one word, no. He's a second-round pick. He's a decent back, but he's not first-round talent. Going to? Oh, my God. Who could he go to? He could possibly go to the, believe it or not, he could possibly, and it's not because I'm a former fan, but he could possibly go to the Jets because the Jets do need a running back. Trying to think who else could possibly use a running back. He could possibly go to the Rams because the Rams are definitely looking for a running back to succeed Steven Jackson.
That was the rumor that they were trying to shop him.
Right, and I'm trying to think who
Green
else.
Bay?
Yes, that's another. You're right. You're absolutely right. They definitely need a running back because I don't think they're too sold on James Starks.
Exactly.
Seems like I think he's a little fragile, and not as much as they thought he was going to be when he had his opportunity. So.
Well, that's the perfect place I put him because it's at the end of the first round. And the fact that Ryan Grant just went to New England to do a tryout says he may or may not come back to Green Bay. And Martin is the type of back that Green Bay would use. He can run, but he can catch as well.
Yeah, but the thing about it is Green Bay needs defensive help.
Yeah.
Last in defense. They're going to mainly concentrate on the defensive side. The running back is a luxury for them because, you know, they're a throwing team. So
yeah.
They would like a decent running back, but their main focus on this draft, I think, would be on defense.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you. Black?
It's like moving Kevin Cobb up to the first round.
No.
and he probably could end up in New England.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. He could end up in New England. You're right, because they do a running back by committee. Although they've got a lot of talent up there, the law firm is now the man in Cincinnati, so they don't have a true running back to call the starter as it is, but you never know. You never know. Mike, what do you think?
Nah, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think he should get in the first round. I didn't. I think he. I don't know. He may wind up. I agree. I think he may wind up in New England. He may wind up there.
I got another team to throw out at you guys because of injury as well as the performance of their backup last year didn't do too well. Not saying that they would go this route because they need to retool on defense, but Pittsburgh. Rashad Mendenhall, he's recovering from his ACL tear, but he's on schedule to return in November, December time frame. Until then, Redmond is the feature back, along with Manuel D. Moore. Personally, I don't think Redmond can carry the load. He's a good back, but he's not the all-purpose back. So Pittsburgh could be in the business, in the market for it, if they could trade back up into the first round, because I'm quite sure they're going to use their first-round draft pick on a defensive linebacker or a lineman, depending on who falls to them. So that's my thought process. Now, who's not too hot? Who is dropping fast out of the first round, Mike? Okay, I'll come back to my cousin, Black. Who do you see that's dropping really fast out of the first round?
Dropping really fast out of the first?
Well, just dropping out of the first round.
That's a tough one there to have.
Okay, let me go to the master, because he's the all-knowing and all-telling.
Well, I would think, and I think this has been ongoing for a few weeks now. Dontario Poe, there was a big thing about him coming out of the combine, but on a closer look from several different so-called experts, they see him maybe possibly dropping out of the first round, maybe a second round pick. At first glance, that's what I'm thinking about Dontario Poe.
Okay, with 26 players attending the draft this year, I'm telling you that maybe five or six of them are going to be still there on, you know, Friday, waiting for their name to be called. I believe Poe is going to be one of them. But I'm also looking at the kid out of Clemson, the defensive end out of Clemson. A lot of folks feel as though that he's a very good talent, but lately – the DNs out of Clemson have not been that great. I know that one passed away, but he didn't live up to his potential. Last year's defensive end out of Clemson, he had, I think, eight or nine sacks, something like that, which is decent, but it wasn't – he didn't play the whole year because he got hurt. So I believe the defensive end out of Clemson is dropping fast as well. Another person that I think is going to drop out of the first round, and some people say he is a first rounder, a lot of people say he's a second rounder, is Kendall Wright.
I never thought he was a first rounder anyway.
There were some analysts, I believe it was McShay, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, who actually had him going in the first round.
McShay is not violent.
What? Come on now. All right, so, well, Mel Kiper had him as his, I think, third or fourth best receiver.
You know, you quote these guys, and I told Black over the last football season, I don't pay attention to so-called experts. I get my own opinion, and I'm not knocking you, Vic, I'm just saying that. I get my own opinion because these so-called experts have been so wrong so many times. I rely more on my opinion than to be able to look at a player and see if he has the potential to be whatever he's supposed to be versus a so-called expert who gives his opinion and then changes it week to week or day to day.
He had Kendall Wright as a first round receiver.
There's no way Kendall Wright's a first round. No way Kendall Wright's a first round.
As the third best receiver behind Michael Floyd. And I'm just telling you, I can't remember exactly where I saw it. I don't know if I saw it on NFL.com.
So you're validating him because I know you like Stephen Hill. So you're validating
him. I do love Stephen Hill. The problem is that a lot of teams think that he's going to be Calvin Johnson or Demaryius Thomas. The kid can run out of the, you know, like the wind at a 4.3. He can catch. He can run block. He can do a lot. But I don't see anybody taking that chance on him going in the first round. I mean, they did it with Demaryius Thomas. Denver did, but that was under the kooky head coach of what's his name? He's now in New England as their offensive coordinator. I can't remember his name. But, you know, some people said that Chicago might even pick him up. Because they want to add another big body receiver with Brandon Marshall. Huh?
And I have a guy for you. Alshon Jeffries.
I want Alshon Jeffries. That's who I want.
Well,
but
you'll be able to get him in the second or third, because I think he's falling out of the first line.
All right, well, we lost my cousin Michael, but we picked up a caller from the 904. Blink, pick this caller up. Call from the 904. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Please state your name.
I'm on air.
Yes, you are.
Fuck you, fucking cunt.
All righty. You got to love live radio. I should have screened them.
Yeah, you should have.
Well, I think I got an idea. If we got some jokers in the building, we got some stuff going. Anyway,
we want to thank you for calling in and spending that time with you. We really appreciate your quick comments. Thank you very much for your time.
Listening to the show, I appreciate you listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Anyway, moving on. Let's move on to. Some other folks. You say Alshon Jeffries is moving up. Okay.
No, I said moving down.
Moving down. Yes, he is. Yeah.
Okay. What is the reason behind that?
His conditioning and work ethic.
Really? So is he out of shape?
Them very lackadaisical in all his interviews.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it possibly because
your boy?
Listen. Is it possibly because? hey, you know, I feel for him though. But is it because he might feel as though he's put in so much work and he got a first round grade coming out that, or a second round grade coming out that he's like, okay, well, you know what? All these people from nowhere are jumping ahead of me. So what's the point? I mean, even though I don't think that should be the attitude anybody has, and I can't confirm or deny that you know, this is the behavior of Mr. Jeffries. I actually think that he's a pretty good athlete. I don't know him personally. I do know that on the sideline for South Carolina, he seemed like a team player. He didn't look like anybody that was out of shape, although he had a couple of injury problems. Maybe that was because he wasn't fully prepared. But talk to me. Let me know what you know, Mike.
Oh, that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. Everything that I've stated to you, that's what I've been hearing lately.
All right. Well, you know, your college football
season. And the fact that the wideout position, especially in this year's draft, is very deep.
Yes, very, very deep.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think he's actually a top three receiver, but if his work ethic is bad and his conditioning is bad, that's going to push him way down. And maybe it'll be a wake-up call for him. Okay, look, I need to get myself together if I really want to be in the league. I don't know what his personal life is like. I don't know what his off-field life is like. I just hope that it's, you know, not a bad one because he's a talent.
Of course you know what his off season is like. Of course you know what he does off the court. He's your guy.
Silence, punk. All right. So we've talked about, you know, the drops and the moving up. Let's talk about a situation that's going on in fantasy baseball.
okay.
I'll set it up, Jerry. A week or so ago, Jerry and I discussed on air about a draft, a trade that he and I were making.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled the trigger on it. I ended up getting Jerry's second round pick for next year, as well as Carlos Beltran. And who else did you give me, Jerry? Oh, Cleveland.
So you're really going to jump over the real MLB, jump into fantasy baseball.
All right. Well,
you're really not going to show any love to the Washington Nationals right now.
I am.
Before you jump into fantasy baseball.
I want to do fantasy baseball because we only got.
That's how things work.
Will you listen?
Will
you listen? We only have 20 minutes left of live air, and I want to get into the NBA playoffs as well. We're going to get to the MLB since the Nationals are leading the National League East. We'll get to it, but I want to bring this up because Jerry was very perturbed by what this guy did, and I wanted to see get him to call in live to talk to Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Go ahead and lay it out because I got some something to tell you. But go ahead.
Okay. Basically, what happened was Jerry and I came to an agreement on a second trade. Now, again, I'm very stubborn in what I want.
This sounds like shady dealing. You guys have pulled off two trades already?
Well, listen. We came upon a deal that, in my opinion and a few others, is very one-sided in my favor. But Jerry is number one in our league over the past couple weeks. His lineup is very stacked, and he decided to make the trade with me. And he also told everybody in the league, he sent an email to everybody, if you got a trade or you want to trade, I'm listening. So, and he's the number one person in the league now. So
right.
One of the other owners posted that it was a BS trade and things of that nature, and how do I know that Jerry's coming back next year? And I had to let him know that, you know, Jerry works with me on the shows, and he's a good guy, and da-da-da-da-da, and he has never lied to me, so I have no reason to believe he's lying now. And I left it alone.
I agree with the owner's comments that it was a BS trade. Who
did
you
trade
for? Did you trade for a Nationals player, Jerry? Who did you trade for?
Well, I'll blow the trade out to you. Excuse me. Second baseman Omar Fonte, who's a second baseman for Miami. Shane Victorino, who's an outfielder for Philly. Justin Verlander, who we all know who he is, the pitcher for the Detroit Lions, MVP and Cy Young Award winner, and another pitcher, Lance Lynn from St. Louis, who's been very good. He's the number five pitcher, but he's not pitching. He's pitching like a number two pitcher. And I give him my number three pick for next year. What I get back is Dustin Pedroia, from the Red Sox, Justin Masterson, who I had before, and I want back because of he's a decent pitcher, and and Tim Hudson, who's going to be coming off the DL next week, and I gave him my number 10 pick, and he said that was a BS trade. In my opinion, it wasn't a BS trade, and Vic, it leans to Vic. Yes, it does lean to Vic. That's I can't dispute that. It does lean to Vic, but I'm the number one seed, and I'm willing to give that up to get some of what I got back. Vic, this is what I have to tell you. I'm looking at an email I got saying that trade has been vetoed by the league.
Wow. So six folks disagree with me. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen,
I smell collusion.
It wasn't collusion at all because we do everything out in the open and we're on the show. I give people opportunities to call in and say what they want to say. Again, if you want to call in, I didn't give it out earlier as I should have. The number is 347-637-3220. Again, the number is 347-637-3220. I will be screening your call, by the way.
And Black, the thing about it is I prompted anyone to I sent an email to the whole league saying I'm up for trading. If you want to make a trade, I'm available to make trades. Vic was the only one that came to me and said, look, I need pitching. I'm willing to let's see if we can work something out.
So, you know, it is what it is. I'm always open about it. I want to thank Mike Knox for being in there in the chat room and Cloud Nation Radio. Cloud Nation's been there for the whole show, so I appreciate that. Mike Knox, I didn't hear you broadcast from WrestleMania. I got an issue with that, Slim. Supposed to take me, dude. Looked like you had a lot of fun. Hope you did. Anyway, if the trade got vetoed, it got vetoed. You know, I'm not going to hate on it or whatever. People are going to vote. But,
yep.
Again, I understand. This is why I don't make or allow the trades just to be solely the commissioner's power, because if I left it at that, I would have pushed that trade through. I would have did it because both pitchers pitched today, I believe. Masterson and Verlander pitched today, if I'm not mistaken. But that's, I make my leagues a democracy. And if you want to, you know, jump on, you jump on. But anyway, it's okay. We don't need to talk about that no more. Let me quickly talk about the Nationals. And a lot of teams, I mean, a lot of people, including Michael Wright, Black, a.k.a. the Bookie Monster, said that the Nationals are going to do very well this year, early on in the year, and he's absolutely right. They're very hot. Their pitching and their defense has finally caught up to their bats. Their defense and pitching have finally caught up to their bats. And, you know, they're hot. Adam LaRoche is hot as well, but the whole team is hot. I know it's the beginning of the season, and you can't look too much into it, but the Nationals are very, very good. I have and had Detweiler on my roster, Ross Detweiler, who's actually, I believe he's a number five pitcher as well, but he's doing pretty good, his daggone self. I believe he has 13 strikeouts already, and he's a pretty good pitcher.
Well, your boy, your man crush, Black Strasburg, is pitching today, and he's in a pitching duel with a Miami pitcher. It's scoreless going into the top of the fifth. It's a scoreless game. So Mr. Strasburg's got 5 Ks already, total of 24 for the year.
Well, the thing about it is we've got to look at how the bats are going. Now, and again, in Major League Baseball, you know, numbers are up. I'm not saying the ball's juiced. I'm not saying the ball's been smoked. But numbers are up already as far as home runs and things of that nature.
How about Granderson on Friday?
Say again?
Curtis Granderson.
How about Granderson on Friday? Man.
Curtis Granderson, yeah.
Well, last year he ended very strong. He had like 45 home runs, and he's found a way to hit the left-handed pitcher. That was always his issue, hitting the left-handed pitcher. And he's a lefty, so I'm like, okay, well, a lefty should be able to hit a lefty, but, you know, not all the time. But he's found a way to do it. He's got that out of the way. So, you know, Granderson's going to be pretty good again this year. But I believe that baseball is actually going to have a romance this summer. It's going to take over with the Olympics. It's going to have a little competition with the Olympics in August, along with the NFL. But I'm telling you, baseball is hot, and so are the Nationals and a lot of other teams. A team that's surprisingly not as good as I thought they would be are the Miami Marlins. I'm not sure what the deal was. Burley pitched a good game yesterday. But maybe they need to gel a little more. But Hammy Ramirez is coming on. He's becoming hot again, and that's helping Reyes become hot. So we'll talk about that at some other point. Real quickly, what I want to do is I want to get into MMA. I want to welcome Paul Green O into the chat room as well. Hello, Mr. Green. Now, and I know what Mike Knox is waiting for. He's probably on pins and needles. MMA action tonight, ladies and gentlemen. MMA action is happening tonight, the fight of the year. Again, I'm going to compare it to boxing. Boxing seemingly can never deliver on the big fight for whatever reason. But Rashad Evans versus John Jones is a grudge match. It's a soap opera, I'm going to tell you. If you're not familiar with the situation, let me break it down real quick. Greg Jackson is a trainer of MMA fighters. And recently, all of his fighters have left his camp except for John Jones. Now I'm going to tell you when this started. This started when John Jones stepped in for Rashad Evans. Rashad Evans was going to fight for the title of the weight class. He got hurt. John Jones stepped in and won the title. So Rashad Evans was the next up in line to fight John Jones. They were teammates under Greg Jackson, okay? Supposedly, this one goes back to like the Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell situation. I don't know if you remember when Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz fought. Tito Ortiz said that they made a promise never to fight each other because they were friends or whatever. A similar situation here. Evan says that they made an agreement. Well, it's an unwritten rule that, you know, teammates don't fight each other, you know, especially for titles and stuff like that. Well, unfortunately, John Jones is the champion. He has to fight whoever they put in front of him and the top contenders. He's in the same weight class, and he's going to fight them. Rashad Evans took exception to him wanting to fight him. So my question to Rashad Evans is, do you think he should have forfeited the title instead of fighting you? I wish Rashad was here and he could answer that question, but he's not. But regardless, the thing is, they were supposed to fight two or three different times, okay? Two or three different times. And injuries happened and things took place and they didn't fight. So tonight is the fight. Rashad Evans left Greg Jackson and formed his own group in Florida called the Black Zillions. So the Black Zillions are, you know, there's a bunch of black guys that do MMA that, you know, that use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and other things. But it's not just black guys. Let me, you know, clarify that. It's a bunch of different mixed martial artists who have joined the group, but it's called Black Zillions. And when he left, a lot of Jackson's talent left. George St. Pierre left. I'm not sure if that was the reason why, but Greg Jackson specializes in defensive fighting. He wants you to wrestle and stuff like that, but he prefers his fighters to have a decision win as opposed to going all. He's very conservative. Let me put it that way. He's not one of those guys that's like, okay, hey, you go in there and bust him up, break his nose, break his leg, da-da-da-da-da. He's not a Greg Williams type guy. Target is ACL. You know, he's not one of those type of guys. So anyway,
remove the head.
Say again?
Remove the head.
Remove the hat. What do you? Never
remove
mind.
Remove the head.
Oh, yeah, remove the head. Stop quoting Greg Williams. But anyway, bottom line is Greg Jackson has lost a lot of his fighters and top talent fighters to Rashad Evans. It was like half of his camp defected and signed with Rashad Evans. So now they have this big fight going on tonight, and it's for the title. It's five rounds. John Jones is the premier fighter. Rashad Evans has only lost once in his entire MMA career, if I'm not mistaken, and he came in as the ultimate fighter in the heavyweight division, and he moved down to light heavyweight, I believe it is, to, you know, better, you know, have a better chance of winning the title, and he won his title. And then he got knocked out by Lyoto Machida, and he hasn't lost since. Bottom line is this. The MMA world is buzzing, and the UFC has never, ever done this until now. The UFC has sponsored John Jones. Now, if you work for a company, now, remember, UFC has a lot of fighters and a lot of different organizations. Why did they sponsor John Jones? Because they think John Jones is the next best thing to Anderson Silva and is going to be that way for a long time. The rumor is if Sugar does not beat Bones, nobody will for a long time. So my question to you guys is, if you look at, you know, I'm about to ban this guy. Because he's in there getting on my nerves, and I'm not going to have it. Have you ever been a part? That would be just like Major League Baseball or the NFL sponsoring you know, Barry Bonds or Peyton Manning. What is your take on the UFC doing this with John Jones as well as this fight? I mean, like I said, it's a soap opera. It's a real life soap opera. What do you think, Jerry?
I really don't have any opinion on MMA, man. I don't follow it, so I'm just listening to what you have to say about it.
Okay, Black, I know you follow it a little bit, not as much as
well,
I do.
Where is the conflict of interest?
The UFC has never, ever sponsored one of its own fighters. Just recently, this past week, the announcement was made that the UFC is sponsoring John Jones, who's fighting his former teammate. And his former teammate took most of his former camp mates from, you know, Greg Jackson. And John Jones remained with Greg Jackson. So there's a lot of drama there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's plenty of drama there. I think Bones Jones has won the fight already, from what you're telling me.
Well, the guy is amazing. I mean, now Rashad is too, but Rashad's chin is suspect. Rampage Jackson stumbled him. He could have knocked him out, but he didn't go in for the knockout, and he subsequently lost the fight. Lyoto Machida, who is a karate guy, knocked him out with a straight jab. Okay? Bones Jones, he's a spinning back fist, but he has the longest reach of any MMA fighter there is. And he's pretty good at boxing, but he specializes in – both of these guys are good wrestlers. Both of these guys are good wrestlers. But Bones Jones is very flexible and can do a lot of different things with his body that Rashad can't. The problem that I see happening is Rashad's going to have to close the distance in order to get to Bones Jones. And that means he's going to have to, you know, take some chances on getting hit in the face or whatever. Because Jones, he throws punches and kicks from awkward angles. Are you familiar with Anderson Silva?
I'm familiar with Anderson Silva a little bit, but if you're sponsored by the people that are throwing on the event, like Jones has won this already.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I will say this. MMA is the one sport that has judges that I consider not to be sick. But the fact that the UFC decided to sponsor this guy, and they've never done it before, opens up a whole new Pandora's box.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, okay, well, what's so good about him that you sponsor him? I mean, yes, he's their money winner since Brock Lesnar left and went back to the WWE. Bones Jones is the big money maker now because Anderson Silva isn't really fighting anybody. He's not fighting George St. Pierre. That would have been, you know, the big fight, but that's not happening now. So, you know, I don't think it's fixed, but I do think it's something to be stated that, you know, this guy's getting sponsored by the company he works for and no one else is. Or why is one fixed. You would you say fixed fight? No. Oh, wise one, you've been around boxing and some other things for a long time. What do you think, real quickly?
Boxing being fixed? What can I tell you? That it won't be the first or last time somebody's been accused of that or it's been set up to look like that. So hopefully MMA doesn't go that route. It looks too live for me, but so did wrestling at one point. So.
Hey, wrestling is real. It's just scripted at who's going to win.
Yeah, okay. That's my point exactly.
Hey, those chair shots are real, dude. I don't care what you say. Anyway, we've got 60 seconds left of live air. I don't think we're going to go into overtime. Real quickly, Jerry, what you got going on in the master plan tomorrow?
The plan, to be truthful, have no idea. You got to tune in to see what the master's going to say or come up with. Let me come up with the plight of the black man in America. Let me put it that way. That's what I wanted to cover last week. I may cover it this week, but who knows? I may change my mind, just
Lord.
You.
Master. The Master Plan every Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio. Jerry's going to be doing his thing. On Tuesdays, we have Kim Fun with Compassion Dakini at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Then on Thursday, Black, real quick, what are you going to have for everybody on Thursday?
I was thinking Thursday we could have post-game interviews, but I forgot the Master Plan comes on tomorrow. So, Jerry, I hope you have a better time loading these sound bites than your compadre over there.
Oh,
not
a problem.
But hopefully
Black,
I'll have some post-game sound bites for you tomorrow for the Master Plan.
You send me the sound bites, they'll get loaded, I guarantee
you. You know what? I'm going to leave them up there. I was going to delete them, but I'm going to leave them up there so you can see it keep saying processing. Y'all hurtful, spiteful Black
but,
people.
But Thursday, we could have another special guest. So stay tuned to our Facebook page and our Twitter page, and we'll let you know who that is.
A lot of things
well,
are going on Thursday on the FSP
yes.
Crew Show. It's the first round
yes.
of the NFL draft. So.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's too late to get the press passes for that, but Jerry, next year, I want you
I gotta
and Jeff
get
there.
I got to get there.
Okay, hold on. I want to give a shout-out to somebody that's listening to the show real quick. Cloud Nation Radio, I want to thank you for listening. And Cloud Nation Radio, he says, hey, guys, love the show. I would love you guys to join us on our show tonight. Oh, that's J. King Network. That's J. King for G5, 5G Sports Talk at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Pacific. Cloud Nation is, I guess, J. King's answer to the sports radio show.
Send me the info.
Over there with him.
Send me the info.
That's right. jkingnetwork.com. I mean, that's it right there, J. King Network. Just go right there.
Okay.
So, you know, I want to thank you for listening in, and I appreciate you staying with us. J. King is a friend of the show. So, anyway, next year, I would like to see you and Jeff at the NFL draft. So, and Black, of course. So, we're going to make
no
sure
problem.
We make that happen.
I'm going to try to make that happen.
You don't want me at the draft.
Yeah, I do.
I will tackle your draft picks.
Whatever, dude. Whatever. Anyway, that's happening on Thursday, breaking down the draft. Live, actually, because you guys can prep before they do the first pick, and then we can talk about, you guys can talk about anything that happens that's a surprise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to be on for the first hour of the NFL draft, and I'm excited about that. So.
You want to go 2 hours?
Do I want to go 2 hours? No, I got things going on after that, man. So Thursdays are pretty rugged. I sometimes scramble to get into Thursdays, as you all know. So an hour is more than enough for what we need to do. I mean,
okay.
I mean it's Saturday. What's Saturday? Saturday's in the afternoon also?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be able to cover it, I guess, on Saturdays.
I think Saturday from 10 a.m. to, because Saturday is third round through seventh round.
Right.
So I think it's from like 10 a.m. to maybe 4 or 5. I'm
yeah.
going to be looking at it on ESPN America and NFL Network live streaming. So,
there's one thing I want to say, Vic. I want to thank
all the
Yahoo Fantasy Baseball managers for vetoing that trade. I'm going to wear each and every one of you that vetoed that out. I'm going to wear you out. I guarantee
you.
Jerry, you won't know who vetoed the trade. I don't know who vetoed the trade.
That means I'm going to wear the whole league out. How's that sound?
They ain't going to wear me out. I'm going to whoop you like you stole something.
I'm going to wear the whole league out. I'm in a dogfight this week, but we'll see what happens. I was in a dogfight last week, but I prevailed. Black, I'm dominating this league. I'm a rookie. I'm a rookie dominating this league. Dominating.
Oh, Jerry, you got 20 more weeks. You can dominate all season long, but when it comes to the playoffs, that's the only thing that really counts. You got to make it there first, which is true. Only four teams are going to make it. You might be one of them, but I know I'm going to be one of them.
Look, they didn't let that trade go through. I'm glad they didn't let it go through. Now, I still have Verlander and my whole staff and my everyday players. Watch out. I'm still going to make some moves, regardless of that trade getting vetoed. I got something on a burner right now. I'm just going to wait until one player gets finished playing his game this week, and I'll grab the guy I want tomorrow. So that's okay.
Would that be Steven Strasburg?
No. I'm whoever has Strasburg.
I can't
definitely
believe the Nationals discrimination here on this program.
Dude. Oh my God.
Neither of your fans are saying it's not one Washington Nationals. I just can't believe it.
Hey Black. Next week, I promise, I will give you 30 minutes to talk about. You get the first 30 minutes of the show to talk about the Nationals. But you got to
I'm talking about on your fantasy baseball team.
No, I told you I got Detweiler. I told you I got
Detweiler.
Yeah. Okay. You ain't even hear me. Yeah, dude. Come on now. I dropped him in one of my leagues, but I'll pick him back up.
Oh, boy. boy. I tell you. Hey, from the start, Black, I had Matt Morris waiting for him to come back. He's on my DL waiting for him to come back.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you ain't got to defend nothing to him. He ain't even playing. You should have, if you were playing, you could have your own whole national team. You could draft the whole squad.
No, I would have drafted every Nationals player.
I bet you would. Hey, dude, that might not have been a bad idea either. But anyway, you got a parting shot, Black, since Jerry just gave his?
No parting shot. Just tune in later on, people. We will have our version of the announcement.
All right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, again, check out or follow at FSP Crew Show, as well as at Fan Sports Paul. That's P-O-L, not P-A-L. And Black, a.k.a. Mike Wright, will be putting up the announcement as to where Sam Cassell Jr. will be attending next year.
And I want to send a shout out to Sam Cassell Jr. as well. He's been retweeting the show yesterday for the past couple of days, so we appreciate Sam for doing that.
Hey, yeah, for real. We appreciate that. You have anything else you want to say, Black?
That's
it.
Go Nats.
Well, I'm going to do this because I promised I would do this before we go. But after this commercial.
One pot shot. Dwight Howard, I hope the surgery is real.
Oh, man. We didn't even get to the NBA. We will get to the NBA.
On that note, I got a parting shot. Dwight Howard, you have just joined the LeBron James fan club. How's that?
Are you kidding me?
He has just joined the LeBron James hair club, because of the shenanigans he's been pulling with the team for the last past season and with his coach, and now he's going to have the surgery. Not saying it's not legit, but before he was having that surgery. He said he didn't want to play for Stan Van Gundy. So it's just awful ironic and very suspicious to me. And now I'm going to have my surgery to end my season. And screw my fellow teammates.
Yeah. Yep, for the playoffs. I mean, you're right. That goes contradictory to what he said. He's going to play there next year, but, you know, they might trade him before the season begins next year.
He's anyway, history. He's not. He won't be there.
Yeah, I know.
No way.
I want to point something out. The sound bites are just now showing that they're like three quarters of the way loaded, which sucks to me because it spent 2.5 hours loading this crap. But it is what it is. I'll let Jerry load up the sound bites tomorrow. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this commercial, and I'm not going to have Jerry do what he normally does, but I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Again, I want to sell this program to CBS, NBC, Fox, NFL Network, wherever.
You sell
Sirius Radio.
Wait a minute. Stop. Time out for a minute.
What?
You're going to play commercial off air.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Because I forgot to play it during live air.
Black, I'm telling you, if you want things done,
you know
talk
what?
To the master. I'll make sure I handle my business.
You know what? Shut up. Hey, is this commercial just for tonight, or is it something that can go a couple of days?
It's an ongoing.
Yeah. All right, well, then we can play it on every show.
But you're playing it off air. Who the heck's going to listen to it now?
Hey, dude, we can get some archives. We're going to get some archives on this one.
You know. Hey, I'm telling
I'm sorry.
You. Half ass. I'm telling you. Oh, man.
You know
I'm disappointed in you, Vic. I'm disappointed.
I forgot. Me and Michael were arguing, and then I got into sports and football and baseball and MMA, and I forgot. I'm sorry.
Maybe that pain medication is getting to you, man. I don't know.
I ain't taken that pain medication since. I took it like 2 or 3 times. I haven't taken it since.
Oh, boy. Maybe that's what the problem is.
Shut up, Jerry. Shut up. I'm going to get some damn Geritol. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you hanging out with us, but we got to go. So check out the Master Plan on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out Compassion Bikini at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. FSP Crew Show Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, this show right here, Fantasy Sports and Politics, at what time are we? At 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. We're crazy like that, all right? And check this out. Commercial time.
Indu Studio 9 and Corrupted Nature Entertainment presents Wasted Wednesday's Reggae Hip Hop Showcase. Hosted by D-Champ CEO, with 93.9's DJ Analyze on the ones and twos. Starting Wednesday, April 25th, and every Wednesday following at Ross Lounge, 4809 Georgia Avenue, Northwest. Doors open at 9, ladies free till 11, and $5 after. Men $10 all night, $3 Ross Punch, $100 bottles, and group of 5 females get a free bottle of champagne. 21 and up to enter. For showcase sign up, contact D-Champ at 202-440-6550. Be there.
And Jerry, tell the people what they've been doing.
You've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to
rumble! You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking Fantasy Sports.